Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is May 26th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing some news about the Miami Dolphins and kind of the expectations that I have for them from the offensive side of the ball. Of course, they have a new offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey. I'm going to be talking a little bit about how I expect that to kind of impact how the team plays on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm also going to be discussing some other little news. There's talks about Jamal Adams, whether he will be traded to the Cowboys. I'll be giving my thoughts on that. And then some people are tying that into a potential candidate for the Dolphins to go after and to try to land a big home run threat at the safety position. But we will begin with my expectations for the offense. And a lot is going to be different this season because of the new offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey. And as many already know, he has some experience with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was the quarterback when he was a head coach over there in Buffalo. And he was also the quarterback when he was an offensive coordinator with the New York Jets in 2015 and 2016. So he does have some experience with them, which I believe tied into him coming out of retirement to join the Dolphins. And then if you listen to the last episode, there was the news that Chad O'Shea was fired because his offense was deemed to be too complex. There was a lot of younger players on this team, and apparently they were struggling to pick up on this offense. Apparently during the film study sessions, it was just very difficult, and his teaching ability just wasn't good enough to teach some of these younger players. And of course, again, this is the New England Patriots style of offense that he was trying to teach them, very complex, one that had a quarterback for nearly two decades, had a lot of experienced, polished veterans on that team. So I expect, trying to teach that to younger players, you have to be a very good teacher, and apparently he wasn't that. So the Dolphins are bringing in Chan Gailey. So he is going to be running a spread offense. That's something that you're going to be hearing a lot. And a spread offense is exactly what it sounds like. It's an offense that's really spread out, and by doing that, you force the defense to spread out to match it. Now, you'll hear a lot that this offense is a lot more simple. It's something that, some of the younger guys could pick up on easier, but at the same time, it's something very difficult for a defense, because if you look at what a spread offense is doing, essentially it's forcing the defense to reveal their hand. The offense is essentially doing the same. You're kind of betting on your playmakers in their ability to create separation and beat their one-on-one matchup, but you're also putting the defense in a position where they have to reveal what they're doing. If you look at how defenses typically disguise what they're doing, it's usually by that congestion in the box. You don't know who's coming on a blitz. You don't know if they're lined up in man. You don't know if they're dropping back in coverage. But when you're spreading it out, you're kind of forcing a team to show what they're doing. A good example of this is if you watch the Jets in 2015, they had a running back by the name of Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory is somebody who is more so kind of a one-trick pony. He's somebody that runs downhill, but as a threat, as a receiver, not so much. But still, even then, they would motion Chris Ivory out to the boundary. They would have a receiver lined up tight against an offensive tackle, and by doing that, you're forcing the defense to kind of reveal their hand. You don't typically see a linebacker who's going to move all the way to cover his man out in the boundary, so instead they're creating a mismatch. The cornerback was then lined up against the running back. You had a linebacker who is forced to line up against a wide receiver, typically Brandon Marshall or Eric Decker, and that's essentially telling you either they're running zone or you're going to have a mismatch if it's man coverage by, having a linebacker on a very talented wide receiver. So those are all typically very easy ways that they're going to be, reading mismatches. Chan Gailey's offense, from what I've seen, utilizes a ton of motions. I mean, it seems like if Eric Decker wasn't motioning, then you would see either Matt Forte in 2016 moving around, a lot of tight end motions, whether it was Quincy Enunwa or somebody else. And then I mentioned Brandon Marshall. So I will be expecting a ton of motions. Now, from the running standpoint, I do think that this offense is going to cater more to the Matt Breida and less of the Jordan Howard. I mentioned Chris Ivory, and he was kind of, a one-trick pony over there with the Jets. If you look at what they did in 2016, though, after Ivory left the team, they went and they got Matt Forte to pair with Bilal Powell. Now, Bilal Powell is more, the typical third-down back, but if you look at what Matt Forte was, he was, historically one of the better receiving backs in all of football, just a guy who could do anything. You never really had to take him off the field, and you never really had that issue that, it becomes predictable what happens when he is on the field. And I think Matt Breida kind of fits that description more. I think Jordan Howard, as effective, surprisingly, as he was as a receiver last year, I think a lot of it came to him just being open on great play calls, or him just kind of sneaking around defenders because they didn't really see him as a receiving threat. I think Jordan Howard is actually, you know, pretty slow compared to Matt Breida, which if you saw the stat that was posted 3 days ago by NFL.com, that he was the fastest ball carrier in all of football. I think this is going to be an offense that Matt Breida isn't going to be viewed as a third down back. I think it's more telling of what Jordan Howard's role is going to be. I think you're only going to see Jordan Howard mostly in obvious run situations or near the red zone and possibly vulturing some touchdowns, but I do think Matt Breida's role is going to be more pronounced, and he's not going to be just some third down guy. And with that being said, in a PPR league, Matt Breida, I think, will be a huge asset. I think he's going to get a ton of volume because the Chan Gailey offense did utilize a ton of screens, and as I mentioned before, they were not shy by any means by turning to an empty set and motioning that running back out as a receiver. So those are all things that you're going to be seeing a lot. And when it comes to running the ball, I know a lot of people didn't like it during the Gase era, the idea of running out of the shotgun, but that is something that happened quite a lot. There's a ton of RPOs involved too, and of course Tua is phenomenal at that, and I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he is pretty solid from what we've seen, and I think Matt Breida has the speed and he has the vision for sure. If you've seen his vision with San Francisco, he can make countless guys miss, and I do think he can hit the hole hard. So I do think running out of the shotgun, utilizing this spread offense to kind of remove some of the guys from the box, will open up some opportunities for Matt Breida to have a very good season. Now, when it comes to Jordan Howard, I don't expect him to be doing that. I do expect when they have the quarterback under center, you know, obvious run situations, you're going to see Jordan Howard. I do not have necessarily high expectations for him other than somebody who could, you know, get those short yarded situations and potentially some touchdowns near the goal line. And then if we turn to look at some of the receivers and the expectations I have for him, you know, when there's two receivers out there, I do expect those to be Devontae Parker, and I expect the other one to be Preston Williams. Both big body receivers, both guys I think are pretty solid as blockers. Preston Williams did have some drop issues, but if you look at what the Jets had out there in 2015, which was arguably Ryan Fitzpatrick's best season, they were rolling out there with Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, who are, I think, very similar in terms of fitting those molds of those two players. And when it came to how they got these guys the ball, a lot of it came with, again, finding mismatches, getting these guys in these prime one-on-one situations, which I think Devontae Parker has shown us in this past year that he is, you know, tremendous at doing. And then a lot of what was utilized were these kind of pick plays, a lot of pick plays even when they're not near the red zone, a lot of congestion, a lot of guys crossing in order to find ways to get guys open. I think you're going to see a ton of that. And when they had multiple receivers on the field, they weren't shying away from using Eric Decker, even though he was, you know, regarded as somebody with a bigger frame as their slot receiver. So, you know, you could see Preston Williams lining up, you know, as a slot receiver. I doubt Devontae Parker does that, but who knows at this point. Now, when you look at what the Jets were doing, they were having a lot of success with the underneath routes. The only problem they had was that their playmakers weren't the guys who were able to make guys miss. They didn't have the Albert Wilsons. They didn't have the Jakeem Grants, potentially. They had Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, great possession receivers, great guys who could come up with some very good one-on-one situations, but not guys that were going to make a ton of guys miss or do anything spectacular after the catch. But when you look at what the Dolphins have, and if they find ways to utilize somebody like Jakeem Grant, who has, you know, speed through the roof, just absolute burners, that could be a very interesting thing to watch. And Albert Wilson, who I mentioned, you know, in 2018, you know, a short season that was interrupted by that horrible hip injury that was very significant. I don't know if he was 100% healthy last season. If you look at what he was doing that season, yards after the catch, he ended up with more yards after the catch with only 20-some receptions than Odell Beckham had in the entire season. He had more yards after the catch on 20-some receptions than Jarvis Landry had in an entire season, more than Mike Evans had, guys who were considered Pro Bowlers. That is how phenomenal Albert Wilson was. If you remember the Bears game, he almost single-handedly carried that Dolphins offense to that surprising victory with Brock Osweiler. So if we're getting that Albert Wilson, you know, he restructured his contract, it's more affordable, it makes more sense, then he is somebody who is primed to break out this season in this spread offense where there's a lot of opportunities for guys to work these underneath routes. The defense is extremely spread out, so you're going to be able to pick up yards after the catch. It's just an awesome opportunity, I think, for the guys like Albert Wilson, for Jakeem Grant, for Matt Breida, whether it's on screens or from runs out of the shotgun, to find these big holes and make huge plays. I think it's a great opportunity, and with that being said, I don't think it's bad for a guy like Devontae Parker, who is going to be having some great matchups. But with that all being said, to look at some of the receivers, you know, I'm big right now on this season on Albert Wilson. If they decide, and what we see earlier on is that they're going to find ways to utilize Jakeem Grant, or they like what he can do beyond just being a special teams asset, then that is all intriguing to me. But when it comes to Devontae Parker, frankly, I don't expect him to put up the numbers he put up last season. I don't think that's going to be all attributed to the Chan Gailey offense and how it's going to function more, getting the ball out quick, these RPOs. And I just think there's more mouths to feed this season. You know, Albert Wilson missed some time. Jakeem Grant missed a ton of time. Preston Williams, who was on pace for 800 some yards and a terrific rookie season, he missed half the season. So I think Devontae Parker, you know, as good as he was, it's not a knock on him. I just expect this season for there to be more mouths to feed and for him just not to get as many looks and maybe not get as many of those big opportunities, because I do think the Dolphins were playing kind of with this mentality last season of, you know, there being nothing to lose, let's just push the ball by any means towards the tail end in the second half of the season. I do think the offense that we're going to see this upcoming season is going to be a little bit more, I don't want to say conservative, but I do think it's going to be a little bit more safe at times. And then when it comes to Mike Gesicki, Mike Gesicki is an interesting player here because to me, he fits the Quincy Enunwa role, who was a big body wide receiver that the Jets over time ended up using as a tight end. And when you look at Mike Gesicki, to me on the spectrum, he is a little bit closer to a wide receiver than he is to the traditional tight end that we've kind of been moving farther away from in recent times. So I do think that Mike Gesicki is going to have a ton of opportunities, more so as a wide receiver. I do think this is going to be one of his better seasons. He's going to have a ton of volume, I believe. But I do think that when it comes to, again, these kind of Jordan Howard obvious run situations, that there's going to be times where maybe it's a different tight end who is a little bit better of a blocker, somebody who could be motioned and moved back behind the quarterback more as a fullback, because that was happening a ton in the Chan Gailey offense. So, you know, whether that's Mike Gesicki or not, I wouldn't bet on it. I think he kind of fills this more pseudo tight end wide receiver role in this offense, which of course is not a bad situation for him to be in by any means, because it is very obvious that his best talents come as a receiver, and he showed that last season in several games. So to kind of summarize that all really quick, I think this is going to be a great opportunity for some of the playmakers, some of the shiftier guys who can make guys miss, the Albert Wilsons, the Jakeem Grants potentially, the Malcolm Perry if he ends up, you know, carving out a role for himself. I like this offense for them. I love it for Matt Breida. I think Preston Williams could have, you know, just about on pace of where he was last season. I do think Devontae Parker's kind of volume is going to go down, just a knock. I do expect Jordan Howard not to be the primary back, and Matt Breida, again, I'm all over Matt Breida this season. As long as he stays healthy, he's somebody that I think could have some tremendous value in fantasy football if you're looking at that. Now, to move on to the topic of Jamal Adams, he's a safety for the Jets. As we know, we've been hearing through all of last season that he wants out and he wants to go to the Cowboys. He's made that publicly known. And what I know of Adam Gase is somebody who is very ego-driven. You know, he wants to be in charge. He wants to kind of send a message to the players. And by having a guy who's openly saying that, to me, it's just only a matter of time. You know, no matter how good Jamal Adams is, and he is very much elite, I think that is going to rub off wrong on Adam Gase. And we could potentially see Jamal Adams moved. And frankly, I had as my not-so-bold take a few episodes ago that if Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams are both still with the Jets at the end of the season, that I would be extremely surprised. So with that being said, I do think that a trade before the season with a team like the Cowboys isn't something that should surprise anybody. And a lot of the scenarios that are playing out right now involve the Cowboys giving up a first round pick, which, you know, to me makes sense. I can't argue against that. Jamal Adams, still very young, has a year left on his rookie deal. It makes sense to give up a first round pick for this talent and potentially lock him down long term with the idea that he wants to stay with the Cowboys. So it makes sense. But now I've seen people float around that, you know, how about instead they give up maybe Gallup and a second. And honestly, I can't argue against that either. It would really make sense for both teams. And one thing that I said, and I've been saying for, you know, almost every episode when I mention Michael Gallup, is that he is capable of being a number one wide receiver in my eyes. If you look at what the Cowboys beat reporters were saying all last season, it wasn't that Amari Cooper was a wide receiver one and Michael Gallup was wide receiver two. It was that there was a 1A in Amari Cooper and 1B, that both those guys were capable of having great seasons. And Michael Gallup did just that. He was held back by, I believe it was a minor meniscus injury in his knee. He got it scoped really quick and came back and still produced. So I don't think that is necessarily an issue. So, you know, I mean, it makes sense to me for them to trade him and get a guy that could help the other side of the ball. You brought in CeeDee Lamb, and you guys know me, you know, I'm a hype beast. You know, I love to see something exciting, and I would love to see the Cowboys go out this season and just have a super dynamic offense with the likes of Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb all in that offense. I mean, if that doesn't prove to you that Dak Prescott is the guy or not, then nothing will if you give him those kind of weapons. You'll frankly never really get much better than that. But with that being said, I could definitely see the argument being made that from a team aspect, from being overall, from being balanced as a unit, trading Michael Gallup away, bringing in Jamal Adams, I can see that making sense. And you know, look at what the Jets have. I mean, the Jets have Breshad Perriman, who is on a prove-it contract, and I really do like Breshad Perriman. I think he could have a great season. Jamison Crowder, you know, he's not to me anything that he's not someone that's going to make the Pro Bowl, but he's always been a reliable asset. And then Denzel Mims, you know, a rookie, we know what kind of upside he has, but is he really going to prove it? That is left to be seen. So going out and getting Michael Gallup, a guy who is kind of more established and we've seen what he can do, it makes sense for both teams to kind of do that trade. But again, the hype beast in me, I just want to see the Cowboys roll out there with that super overpowered offense on paper, and them for them to get that answer, for them to know, is Dak Prescott really the guy or not? And Andy Dalton, I think, is a very capable quarterback if you give him those weapons. I wrote an article about it. I think Andy Dalton is very capable of being the Ryan Tannehill of 2020. He could definitely take over a team, and if you're giving him those weapons, it is going to be that much more easier for him to do. So should the Dolphins make the trade for Jamal Adams? And this is another one that I don't see why they shouldn't. Jamal Adams is, from everything I've heard, somebody who fits the character mold that Brian Flores is looking for. With all the guys that he has drafted, and they all kind of fit this kind of descriptions of guys with the utmost characters, guys who are willing to learn, Jamal Adams is that. Plus, he is a very elite talent at a position where the Dolphins have some need at. They need a safety. Of course, they brought in Brandon Jones, who, you know, I am very excited about. I think he's a hard worker, but still a lot left to be seen. And then when you look at the other side at safety, you have Eric Rowe potentially, maybe Bobby McCain. It's not really sure what's going to be happening there, and none of those options really strike me as one that the team would be happy to have long term. So I do think it makes sense. The Dolphins have that extra first round pick they got from the Texans last season. Jamal Adams, you know, tremendous asset. I think it makes sense for them to potentially trade a first round pick for him. I think it wouldn't be the worst move. They could secure him long term. The only thing that would matter at that point is whether both of these teams are willing to trade in the division, which I don't see as likely, because I do think there are countless more teams throughout the league. You know, I mentioned the Cowboys, but there are plenty of teams that I think around the league that would be willing to make the move. So would it make sense for the Dolphins to do it? I think absolutely. It would make their defense loaded. It would make it that much easier to kind of forget about the issues that happened with Minkah Fitzpatrick again, but I just don't see it as something that the Jets are willing to do with their star player. But who knows? You know, we saw Adam Gase kind of send a message and trade Jay Ajayi for nothing, and allegedly he sent Jarvis Landry to Cleveland to die, in a sense, and you know, that worked out actually, you know, pretty solid for him. So who really knows at the end of the day what is going to happen with him? But frankly, I would not argue against that decision. I think that is one that makes sense, and I think that Brian Flores would love a guy like Jamal Adams on the defense. So with that all being said, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode, guys. As always, if you could leave a review on the Apple Podcast app or wherever you listen to the podcast, that would help a lot. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my personal account is @ShadySteven, and where I tweet more focused sports stuff, that is @ViaTheSource on Twitter. That would be greatly appreciated if you could give them a follow. And I know I've been getting some reviews. I know Devon Dolphin has been, you know, a great listener so far and has always given me compliments and encouraging me to continue to do good work on this podcast. So his comments always greatly appreciated. I've seen Dolphin Ray's reviews on the Apple Podcast app. Again, greatly appreciated. I like the replies you give and how they all pertain to the episode. So that is all great. And again, if anybody has any questions or topics they would like for me to discuss in the next few episodes, I mean, I would be extremely open and, you know, I'd be frankly excited to do so. So if you could do that, that would be a huge help. And guys, that is how I'm going to wrap it up. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via the Source.